Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Pokonsi.
Good afternoon, Zana. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed.
Lovely.
We are kept. I hope also that you are kept.
Yes, of course, I'm kept, man. Thank you for asking. It's a beautiful one. Now, sin meets its final end. That's the theme of our discussion this afternoon. And it's so strange that everyone, that is the righteous and the wicked, at this point, have all acknowledged that God is just and God is right and that his judgment is fair. But there's still no peace. So tell us about what happens after the judgment has been investigated and found to be right.
Somehow, some sort, sin will have to meet its final end. Yesterday, we established that every knee shall bow down and proclaim that the Lord is just, the Lord is holy. Right? Even though the wicked and Satan and his demoniac, they bow down, but it still does not change the character of their evilness. Their hearts have not changed. Their heart still has not changed, right? And after judgment is being pronounced, the wicked, of course, will accept their tragic fate, right? But nothing would have changed their hearts, you know, in receiving Christ Jesus as their personal savior. You know, if we are told instead to Christ, the writer is Ellen G. White saying that, you know, if God will allow the sinner to enter the kingdom of heaven, you know, heaven will be gloomy, will be miserable for them, because the sin that is in them does not really see godly things as pleasurable, you know. So in the final judgment, you know, the fires that will be sent, you know, by the eternal God will be to destroy sin, you know, and not only sin, but those who cling to it, right? It is by God's, you know, love and being a compassionate father that no one dies. But because of the sin that each would have clinged to, you know, that did not be purged out, or that failed to be purged out because of the decisive powers, because of their decisions, because of their choices, you know, the Lord will need to destroy sin, or sin and sinners who have clinged to the primary, you know, primary thing, which is sin. So that's what will happen, that God will destroy sin in the final judgment. And the last enemy, we told in scriptures that the last enemy, which is death, you know, shall also be destroyed. And I love how Paul puts it, is that, you know, death, which is the sting of sin, right? So both death and its sting, which is sin, shall be destroyed. For the past 6,000 years, they've done so much damage into this world. Sin on itself is mysterious. We don't know how it originated in Satan, but it requires one who is mysterious to destroy it. Mysteriousness, you know, it requires one who is divine, who understands it and knows how it operates, to destroy it, right, to such that they will never ever sin again. Zechariah chapter 4 says that affliction shall not rise the second time, you know, so God will not permit sin to reign again, you know, see on what it has done, you know, to this world. You see the state of the world, you see how the world is being governed, and those are the consequences of sin. You see how families are governed, you see how individuals, you know, govern themselves, you know, all this is the consequences of sin, you know, where we've been alienated, you know, from righteousness, Sin has done so much damage. The world in itself is a lazar of sickness and death, deformity. It has done so much, great harm, to such that, we sometimes blame God because of the consequences of sin. Hence his character needs to be vindicated in judgment. And after everyone have seen that, surely, surely seen the mysteriousness of sin and how heaven have tried by every means to save us from its eternal consequences, surely everyone will bow down and say, surely God is holy and just. But that doesn't mean that the wicked, their heart will be changed from that, and thus God will destroy the sin by which they would have clung to by choice.
Yeah, and now, how are the wicked still deceived? I mean, even in the face of their final destruction, still deceived?
Christ says that blessed are those who believe without having seen. The concept of faith is built upon evidence, the things which are not seen, but there is an evidence of them, right? And morality, the moral laws, right? We decide on to following that which is right. Right, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, or born in a Christian family, it's out of your decision powers that God had put in each and every human being, to decide to follow that which is right. And those are what it encompasses, morality, right? And for a person to decide to go after that which is wicked, it's out of their own choice and decisions. Right, to say that I know that which is right and I'm deciding to follow that which is wicked, right? And for them to do that which is wicked, it only portrays or manifests the state of their heart, the state of their mind. Does it make sense? So their works, their works and their doings, hence scriptures in Revelation 20, so 21, it says they shall be judged by their works when the books are open. So the judgment of their works, right, basically states that this is who you are, right, by what you are doing, right? So even though in the manifestation of seeing Christ face to face, right, it will not be out of sincere decision. Does it make sense? Whereas you've choosing this person as Christ, as my personal savior, but it will be out of, I'm seeing that, oh, there is a Christ, but it's not about personal relationship, it's not about character by which you are well pleased of, but it will be out of the outness of who he is. You'll be pleased by the glorious, marvelous light, not the character himself. So you are not choosing the person himself, but you are choosing what is being manifested out of the person. So hence it says that their hearts are still not changed, because you are pleased by what is outside, but not the person himself, right? So at the state that we are living in now, it's an opportune time to choose Christ of who he is. Not what he is. Does it make sense? So who he is basically his character, choosing that which is right, going after righteousness. And that's the purpose of the gospel, right? The gospel is all about righteousness. And that's the whole plan of salvation, was to manifest the character of God, not to be pleased by things that we see, but things which are not seen. But there's an evidence of things which are not seen.
Things that are not seen. Thank you so much. Now, is a fear of hellfire enough to cause someone to come to Christ?
The great controversy shouldn't be about fear. We should not choose Christ because of that we fear hellfire. And Hence, the gospel that we preach should be the gospel of righteousness. You know, of course, you don't hide away, you know, the consequences of not choosing to decide not to walk with Christ. Hence, it is stated prolifically that, you know, if you decide to not follow him, you are clinging to sin, right? There's only two powers here, either the power of God or the power of Satan, right? So choosing to not follow him, you're opening a worm of being deceived. And thus you'll be clinging to that, to sin by which God will be destroying. So God really does not want to destroy the sinner, but he wants to destroy the sin. But because you, by your decision, you're choosing to what? To cling to sin. And thus God is destroying the sin which is in the sinner. So, you know, so the gospel itself should mainly be, you know, should mainly be preached on subjects that will actually, you know, paint a beautiful picture, you know, of the character of God. Moses requested fa the Father to see his glory. And in seeing his glory, he saw that he's a long-suffering Father. He's a loving God. You know, he is compassionate. You know, that's what the gospel should be, you know, whereas you allure people, you know, or you, rather you impress people. You impress people to the, to God's love, right? Not to that which he will do in the end times, where, you know, because it portrays a different character of God, that if you don't choose him, you are going to hell. You know, you know, I'm not saying that you know you shouldn't be preaching about that, but you know, they, of course, you don't, hence I say, you don't hide away the consequences, you know, in the teachings, but 99.9% should be about the love of God. You know, some of these things about should be there because we know what is going to happen. You know, so prophecies are there to alert us on how events are going to of are going to lead each other, you know, after the art after each other, you know. So that's the purpose of prophecy. So God does not hide away anything for us. Hence, 2 Peter 1 verse 9 says that, you know, prophecies are there for us to do well, as unto a light that shineth in, unto a dark place, until the day star arises in our very heart. So prophecies are there for us to do well, to know how the great controversy is being governed, you know, and that God still sits on his throne and what he will do, you know, to do away with sin. So it paints a full picture, right? Though we can't have much to do about it in the end times, does it make sense? Whereas we can't control the hellfire that will be poured, you know, but this is God letting us know how events will portray themselves in the end times. It's only for us to know, right? But the gospel in a nutshell should be about Christ Jesus, telling people about the love of Jesus, you know, and of course, not hiding away the prophecies, because the gospel is embedded within prophecies, right? Where we know the times that we live in and how we need to order our steps. I don't know if I make sense. I'm not saying that we should be quiet about, you know, hellfire and all those things, but no, that's not the purpose of the gospel. You know, you know, but prophecies are there to show us what's going to happen in the end times, you know. So that's the purpose of studying prophecies.
True. Now, you know, talking about fire and the destruction by fire, etc. I don't know why fire. Why can't this people just be struck dead by lightning? And that's it. I mean, this fire seems quite cruel, especially that it's going to be burning for a long time.
It's God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. The fire is being prepared for Satan for all the pains that he has caused. He needs to know, you know, and feel the pain that he had caused to humanity. Man is suffering because of what the influences of the demoniac kingdom, satanic kingdom. Families are being broken up because of such influences. There's a lot, hence having emphasized of what sin has done. And Satan has done so much cruelty to such that the same meat that he had done upon man, he will experience the same meat, even far above, for what he had cre for what for the chaos that he had done. It is not God's purpose. Having said it is not God's purpose for man to be to partake in the hellfire. And this fire is we don't know how God will how this fire is, the mechanics, the properties of this fire, but it will also cleanse the world, In cleaning the world, it will cleanse the world from, what sin has done, has of how sin has marked down God's creation, right? In God creating the heavens and the earth, everything was in its perfect state. But now we see the results of death on how things die over time, And these are the consequences of what sin of what sin has done to the world. The world is not as how God created it to be, because we see death itself in every nature, right? So the purpose of the fire is to destroy sin, is to destroy death, is to destroy Satan, and not that God desires man whom he had created lovingly to live according to his own to live according to purpose, because many die having not lived to their purpose. And so unfortunately, because of their decisions, in choosing that which is unrighteous, they have to bear to that which to the master whom they've decided to serve. So this fire itself is not the I would say it's not the fire that we know, because this fire destroys, the spiritual kingdom. It destroys Satan, who is spirit himself. Because angels are the Bible says, aren't they ministering spirits? So angels themselves are spiritual beings, So this fire is well reserved that it will destroy even, So God knows how it has been designed, and he needs to recreate the new heavens and the new earth, whereas there will never be any sin again, where we will live a happily life for eternity. Lastly, the purpose of the judgment in the 1,000 years, we are told that, we it is needed. It is needed, because some of our loved ones will not be able to, wouldn't have made it in the first resurrection, So the purpose of the 1,000 judgment, yes, is to inquire, even with God, okay, first, why did I make it? Secondly, why is my loved one not here? Does it make sense? So by the time there be a second resurrection of the wicked, we would have made, we would have made it to heart to, with affirmation with God that why he is not here. Does it make sense? And scripture says, and God shall wipe out our tears. These are these tears are because some of our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, are not here to spend eternity, with me or with you. So that 1,000 years of the judgment in heaven is needed to, reconcile that when this fire is being sent, we know why. We know why is God doing this. And it's yeah. So while we are still alive, let us live it to righteously. Scripture says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead they know nothing. So so this is an opportune time to make it right with God. Make it by making it right with God, it is shown by the works also. Repentance is followed by works. Repentance is followed by how you portray yourself before your family, before your marriage, before your children, before your neighbors. The same person you were yesterday, let it be a different person in Christ. That is on itself repentance, not because you are fearful of the fire, but because you want to establish a rightful walk with Christ for eternity.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Sam Pokonsi there joining us, talking to us about when the scene meets its final end. Dramatic events really at that time, and of course we've got to be prepared for it. Elder, thank you so much for your time.
God bless you and the listeners. Thank you. Amen.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.